That's the opening fanfare of Leos Janáček's Sinfonietta, music that has a significant recurring role in an epic new book, 1Q84, by Japanese author Haruki Murakami. Music plays a large part in all of Murakami's novels. Here and Now critic at large Ed Siegel has read them all, including the new 900-plus page opus, and he joins us to talk about the book and the music. Hi, Ed.
Sasha, great to see you.
You too. Ed, with the amount of time you've committed to reading Murakami, I take it you're a fan.
I am, Sasha. You know, one of the things that all great writers do is create a world of their own, one that you want to spend a lot of time in, and Murakami's is as unique and welcoming as they come.
What makes it so unique?
Well, he's developed his own form of magical realism, even though he hates the term. He creates these worlds that are mirror images of ours, but they're filled with talking animals, Zen mysticism, scientific theory, hot sex, and a never-ending loop of great music of all genres.
But talking animals and hot sex in the same book?
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't get too specific about the animals and the sex, but sex and music go hand in hand in one of his earlier books, Norwegian Wood. The title's taken from the Beatles song, and Murakami, after all, is a baby boomer devotee of the group.
I sat on the road, biding my time, drinking the wine. We talked until 2, and then she said, it's time for bed.
So music, as we've said, plays a significant role in Murakami's new novel. It starts out with Sinfonietta, which we've heard earlier. Ed, be careful not to spoil it for everyone, but what's the basic plot line?
Well, the year is 1984, wink, wink, and the title, 1Q84, is a play on that. There are two main characters. Aomami is a 30-something personal fitness trainer in Tokyo. When we meet her, she's stuck in traffic. She's in a mini dress and high heels, and she's on her way to give a Tony client a massage, but and a little something else, because I should mention that she's also a hit woman. She's in the pay of a wealthy dowager who pays her to off men who commit domestic violence against women.
Let's cue up some more music here.
Right, Sinfonietta. Take 2, please. So when Aomami hears Sinfonietta playing on the taxi's radio, the music transports her to another world, one in which she starts thinking about her one true love, our co-main character, Tengo, even though she hasn't seen Tengo since they were both 10 years old. And, you know, for all his modernism, Murakami's really quite a romantic.
But she's stuck in traffic.
Yeah, and she gets out of the cab, she climbs down this hidden staircase, and notices that the world she's in has a couple of different aspects to it. Notably is there are now 2 moons in the sky.
And this, I know from having read quickly through the book, leads to another song.
Yep. It's one that the characters cite quite a bit in the book, particularly when they see those 2 moons. The song's It's Only a Paper Moon, and who better to sing it than Ella Fitzgerald?
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Where does Murakami's interest in music come from?
Well, after he graduated from college, he actually bought a jazz bar, and he apparently has tens of thousands of records, and he loves to introduce songs and music into his stories. Sometimes they advance the story, and sometimes they're just really smart, entertaining discussions about music. Take this passage from the book. Tengo's lying in bed with another girlfriend, not Aomami, and, and she's introducing him to Louis Armstrong's Atlanta Blues and the contribution from his clarinetist, Barney Bigard.
So make me your ballad on the floor. Take it, Barney!
Listen to that. Amazing. That first long wail, like a little child's cry. What is it? Surprise? Overflowing joy? An appeal for happiness? It turns into a joyful sigh and weaves its way through a beautiful river of sound until it's smoothly absorbed into some perfect, unknowable place.
Yes, make me one ballad on the floor.
This sounds like a place where some of that hot sex may come in.
You've got it, Sasha. One of the places. It turns out Tengo's a writer, and he's been hired to polish up a 17-year-old girl's very strange, otherworldly first novel. which also has two moons in it, not so coincidentally. And he takes Fuka Eri, the woman, and under his wing.
And she's age 17, a little uncomfortably young,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that the age of consent in Japan is 20. But let's suspend our distaste for just a minute. The sexual encounter, it's not exactly innocent, but it does serve a purpose that I think by the end of the book many readers won't object to it. It involves our old friend Aomami, who at this point is desperately looking for her long-lost Tengo, and he for her. But let's go back to the 17-year-old Fuka Eri. Many of the characters in the book, including her, are recovering from their parents' involvement in religious cults. Fuka Eri has led a very sheltered life in one of those cults, and she's going through Tengo's record collection, trying to figure out the ways of the world, so to speak, when she comes across one of Murakami's other favorite groups.
What a drag it is getting old.
And that song is Mother's Little Helper by the Rolling Stones. So Murakami apparently has a wide appetite for music.
Uh-huh.
But 900-plus pages, that's the book's length. How does he fatten out this story to that length?
Well, there's no Big Brother in his 1984, but I think one of the big themes throughout is there's an unsettling sense that religious leaders, particularly religious fundamentalists of all stripes, have gotten way too powerful and have much too much influence in their lives today. But for all the negatives of religion, there's also some lovely writing about the positives, including a passage celebrating Bach's St. Matthew's Passion and the value of sacrifice.
Contrition and repentance tear the sinful heart in two. Oh, that my teardrops may be a sweet balm unto thee, faithful Jesus. This was the meaning of the aria from the St. Matthew's Passion that Fuka Eri sung the other day.
So a lot of themes going on. Do our two lovers meet again?
Well, maybe we shouldn't say whether Aomami and Tengo hook up or not, but I did say Murakami's are romantic. For Murakami, life really isn't worth much without love or without great music. And I have to say that even though I only see one moon in the sky when I look up, it looks a little different since I finished the book.
And that one moon comment gives us an excuse to go out with some more of Ella Fitzgerald's It's Only a Paper Moon.
With lyrics by Yip Harburg and Billy Rose.
It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Haruki Murakami's 1Q84 has just been released in hardcover. For more on him and his book, go to hereandnow.org. Ed Siegel is Here and Now's critic at large. Ed, thanks as always.
A pleasure.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again here and now.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade.